Live from the College of Communication, Arts and Sciences at Michigan State University, it is now time to go beyond the X's and the O's with WKAR's current sports.
You want to go after an athlete, one of my athletes, come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Well, I'm the best corner in the game. When you try me with a star receiver like Crabtree, that's the result you're going to get.
Yes, did I express to them I was mad? I was furious. Just furious.
I know my wife will at least shut fake one time.
We talking about practice, not a game.
And I told our players, you need to be more like a dog. We don't need a bunch of cats in here. Looking in the mirror. Do I look good? I got my extra bands on. I got my other shoes on. Be a dog. We don't need no meows. We don't need no cat.
Here's your host, L. Martin.
What is up, beautiful people? Yes, it is October 1st, 2019. A new month is here. As we inch closer and closer to the end of 2019, I really can't believe it. Already October. I love October. Halloween, of course. This is the month of Halloween. Arguably the most insane in the membrane month here at Michigan State University as far as students go. I tell you, some of my favorite memories are you know, being a student here on this campus during this month. All right? So, which happens to also to be the month of my grandmother's birthday, and also my birthday. So it can't beat October. I love October. Well, we've got a lot to talk about. It is Tuesday, and as you guys know, each and every Tuesday, we give to you a bit of the Mark D'Antonio Tuesday morning press conference that happens every Tuesday throughout the MSU football year at 11:30 a.m. inside of the north end zone of Spartan Stadium. Coach D'Antonio in a pretty good mood, getting a win over Indiana this past weekend, homecoming weekend for MSU. He touched on a lot of different things, though. He was asked about a certain transfer, or a transfer portal player. Yeah, there's another one, folks. You know, not too long ago, we were talking about, Brandon Boyle Randall deciding to transfer or enter the transfer portal and test the waters away from East Lansing. And now we have another player, which you'll find out who, if you haven't already heard, in just a moment. D'Antonio weighs in on who that player is, and you'll get his thoughts on the transfer portal overall. All right? Also, he was asked about one of the hottest topics, if not the hottest topic, in the world of sports here in our great nation, and that is whether or not college athletes should be paid. California, a California bill will allow college athletes to get some moolah, not directly from the institution, but again, they can do like a local car commercial or, you know, sign some autographs. That will come in the coming years. I'm going to break that down later on in this show. But Mark D'Antonio did weigh in on that and had some interesting thoughts concerning that. And, of course, he talked about the upcoming matchup on primetime television as Michigan State will take on Ohio State this Saturday at 7:30 p.m. So, yeah, you don't want to miss today's Mark D'Antonio press conference. It was certainly an interesting one. And again, of course, and I mentioned this on yesterday's current sports to close out the hour. I'm going to be elaborating on this whole California bill that will allow college athletes to make some money. All right. So a lot to get to. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Go to facebook.com/WKAR News. Live stream is up there. Watch and comment below that video. You can also tweet me at Al Martin, WKAR, or tweet the show at WKAR News. Here are your current sports quick hit headliners. All right, and we start with this news coming out of the camp of Michigan State football that for the second straight week, a Michigan State football player has entered his name into the NC2A transfer portal. This time, it is junior running back Connor Hayward. Hayward follows linebacker Brandon Boyer Randall. As I just mentioned, he entered the NCAA's gateway for player movement last week. Last season, Hayward was named honorable mention All Big Ten as a kick returner and entered 2019 as the Spartans' number one running back. Hayward was not in uniform on Saturday during that 40-31 victory that Michigan State had over Indiana. And because he played only in four games this season, he is eligible for a redshirt season that would allow him to maintain 2 years of eligibility at another school. So, first it was Brandon Boyer Randall. Now it is Connor Hayward who has thrown his name into the NCAA transfer portal. More thoughts on that story in just a moment. You'll get a chance to hear what Coach Mark D'Antonio had to say about Connor. Keep it locked, all right? The Michigan State men's soccer program returns home to start the month of October, taking on Penn State tonight at 6 p.m. inside of DeMartin Stadium. The game will be televised on the Big Ten Network. Mike Monaco and Jamie Watson on the call. Michigan State improved to 1-5-2 after a road win against number 22 Rutgers on September 27th, 3-0. Three different Spartans found the back of the net for Michigan State as the Spartans improved to 1-0-0 in Big Ten play. Penn State is 4-1-2 overall after a nothing-to-nothing tie against Michigan on September 27th. In league action, Penn State is 1-0-1. So again, Michigan State men's soccer going at it against Penn State tonight at 6 p.m. If you want to check that one out, again, it's going to be at home here on East Lansing's campus of Michigan State University at DeMartin Stadium. All right, moving along, the Big Ten released its preseason All-Big Ten hockey teams yesterday, which included four Spartans. Junior forward Mitchell Lewandowski and sophomore defenseman Dennis Sisana were both voted by the league's coaches to the second team, while senior forward Patrick Kortarenko and senior defenseman Jared Roseberg earned honorable mention. Michigan State will host Western Ontario next Monday, October 7th, in an exhibition game at Monice Arena that will be free to all fans. That's got to be one of your favorite words in the English dictionary, right? We love the word free. The regular season begins October 11th to the 12th, when the Spartans will travel to Northern Michigan. And some local high school basketball coaching news as Rod Watts is returning to the basketball sidelines in the Lansing area. The former Lansing Eastern coach was announced by Waverly on Monday morning as its new basketball coach. Watts will replace the great Craig Fields, who won more than 200 games while leading the Warriors. Watts is a 1981 Waverly graduate and has three decades of coaching experience. He spent the last four seasons leading the program at Westland John Glenn. I actually remember when Rod left for Westland John Glenn. We had him live on Current Sports that week. He was one of my favorite coaches to cover when he was the head man at Lansing Eastern, and really cool that he's now returning back to the Lansing area at Waverly. So prior to Westland John Glenn, again, he was in charge at Eastern, where he coached LaDante Hinton and had several successful teams during his six seasons on the sideline. Waverly is coming off a 10-12 season and a sixth-place finish in the CAAC Blue. All right. Girls basketball state semifinals and finals are returning to the Breslin Center. How about that news? The Michigan High School Athletic Association announced on yesterday an agreement to bring the girls basketball semifinals and finals back to the Brez starting this upcoming season. However, there is a catch. This is coming from MHSAA spokesperson Jeff Kimmerly. Quote, It's a go for this year and going forward as long as Michigan State does not host any NCAA games. If MSU is a top four seed and gets to host an NCAA game, we go to Hope this year and then Western Michigan in the future. So it all hinges on what the Michigan State basketball program does. If they host an NCAA game, then probably not going to happen. But as of right now, it's a go. And if it is a go this year, it will be really cool to see girls' high school postseason basketball action back at the Breslin Center. All right, quick update when it comes to Monday Night Football. Last night you had one game in action, of course, in the NFL slate as the Pittsburgh Steelers laid down the hammer in a rather boring game, 27-3. The final as the Steelers beat Cincinnati and now move to 1-3 on the year. That was the first win of the season for Pittsburgh. And the Bengals fall to an ugly 0-4. I think it's about time for the Bengals to move on from Andy Dalton, right? Yeah, I could see Cincy going for a QB in this upcoming NFL draft next season. All right, some unfortunate news for the Golden State Warriors as Golden State Warriors all-star swingman Klay Thompson will be out until at least the all-star break as he continues to recover from a torn left ACL. GM Bob Myers, he made that announcement yesterday saying, quote, he's doing fine. We'll have another update on him probably around the all-star break. Don't construe that as if we think he'll be back by the all-star break. That just means we'll have an update then, end quote. So we don't even know officially if he will be back come the all-star break. We'll just see. We'll check in with his health around then. So Thompson, he suffered the injury, if you remember, June 13th, game 6 of last season's NBA Finals against the Toronto Raptors, who went on to win the NBA chip, led by Kawhi Leonard. The Warriors remain optimistic that Thompson will play at some point this season, but it remains to be seen exactly when he will return to the floor. Thompson said that he has no issues with the organization's time frame and was not trying to rush back before then. And this is a bit of an odd story to close out things here. These overpriced beers at a football game cost the vendor more than the fan. A beer vendor at Sunday's Miami Dolphins game was arrested after charging a fan $724 for two beers on a personal credit card reader. Wow. So this man is facing charges of third-degree grand theft and possession of a skimming device and was issued a $10,000 bond, according to Miami-Dade Corrections and Rehabilitation Records. His name is Nathaniel Collier, who is 33 years old. He didn't use the credit card reader Hard Rock Stadium provides to vendors. That's according to the police report obtained by the Herald. The fan received an alert, which included Mr. Collier's name for the excessive charge. Very smart. This dude is a very, very smart thief, isn't he? Two beers, $724. All right, that does it for your current sports quick hit headliners. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. That is the number to call. You can also weigh in, courtesy of good old social media. Many of you are already doing that at facebook.com/WKAR News. And you can tweet me at Al Martin, WKAR, or tweet the show at WKAR News.
never expect any, but, you know, I think this is the sign of the times a little bit. So, you know, I'm always going to take the position that, hey, whatever you think is best for you. If you don't think it's best to be here, then probably it isn't, because, you know, you're not all in. And, you know, we've got competition at running back. I don't think there's any question about that, that there's been competition there. But I think at right at this point in time, you know, we have a number one running back. So, but we wish Connor the best. He's a tremendous young man. He's a good football player. He brings value to our football program. But it just sort of is what it is, and you have to deal with it from that perspective. And I'm going to deal with it in a positive way. And that's the only way that I can approach things.
Again, happy Tuesday to you all, and thank you so much for allowing Current Sports to be a part of your Tuesday afternoon. You just heard the voice of Mark D'Antonio, head coach of the MSU football team, coming off a win against Indiana this past Saturday at Spartan Stadium. And Mark D'Antonio weighing in on the latest news concerning his football team in the conversation of transfers. That, you know, and we saw, again, this is back-to-back weeks now. We saw after, how long ago was that? Yeah, that was 2 weeks ago. We saw, you know, linebacker Brandon Boyer Randall, when news broke that he, you know, decided to lead the program, enter his name into the transfer portal, and, you know, take his talent somewhere else. And, you know, now it's Connor Hayward, who was not dressed, was not in uniform this past weekend. Connor Hayward has decided that, you know, East Lansing is not the right place for me. He actually posted like a little tribute video that encompassed some of his highlights throughout his stint as a Spartan. You know, basically saying, thank you, Michigan State. But this is a reality now. I mean, this is what college athletics is now. This is a reality for, you know, college football programs. If players aren't happy with their situation, the NCAA allows them now to say, all right, you put your name into this portal. Doesn't that sound like so sci-fi science fiction too? The portal. But you put your name in this portal, and when your name is in there, other programs can contact you. They know that you went out, and you can test the waters a bit and go to a different program where you feel like you are a better fit or where you believe you will get more playing time. And let's be real. That's what this is about. It's about PT. Connor Hayward is a guy who did begin the year as the number one running back. But as the season went along, as the season has gone along, we have seen Elijah Collins emerge as that guy. And it looks as though he is not giving up that spot anytime soon. He is the guy at running back that Michigan State is going to ride out this entire season, and deservedly so. I mean, Elijah Collins is an explosive player. You know, you hope when you have a battle like that, because that was one of the big questions coming into this upcoming Michigan State football season, who was going to be the guy in the backfield, who was going to get the most reps. That was the big question mark. And you hope from Coach D'Antonio and his coaching staff's perspective, you hope that there is at least one guy who emerges as the guy who separates himself from the pack. Elijah Collins has done that. Now, occasionally we still have seen Connor Hayward go out there and try to produce, but just not enough explosive plays. That's the reality. And reality hit, you know, when watching Elijah Collins get the majority of the reps and tear it up out there
reality hit Connor that, okay, maybe this isn't the right place for me because now I'm going to be playing second fiddle to Elijah Collins. That's how it is, folks. And, you know, we debated this back when the news broke about Boyer Randle deciding to transfer and whether or not it's an easy cop-out for student-athletes. You know, when the going gets tough, you get going, right? Is that a great message for today's youth? But look, we're talking about college football here, man. These players aren't getting paid. They're trying to do what's best for them. If they believe they are top-tier talent and trying to make those NFL dreams come true, I can't knock the kid. And I like the NCAA saying, hey, here's a place where you can put your name out there and see if there are other programs who are interested in acquiring your talent. And, you know, I've heard many coaches on national shows who are head coaches of not top-tier programs talk about how the transfer portal has benefited their respective programs because some players, like a Boyer Randle, like a Connor Hayward, who come from big institutions like Michigan State, you know, you get some talent like that on your lower-tier program, it can help you out. I get it. But this is a reality, and I think that now college coaches are going to have to adjust to this because, and I don't know how you make the adjustment. I don't have the foolproof answer to this because, you know, you're talking about managing egos here. I mean, how do you manage the ego of young college football players who want PT, who want to be the guy? You know, I don't know how you do that. At the end of the day, it's about production. Are you getting the job done? If you're not, and somebody else is, I'm sorry, that's life. You are going to not be the guy. All right, and if you can't deal with that, then hey, bye. Keep it moving. If you can, hey, we'd love to have you here. You know what I mean? That's how you have to do this. You can't. I don't think that D'Antonio can cater to every player's ego here. You are going to put out the players that you believe give you the best chance to win. If your feelings get hurt because you aren't that guy, I'm sorry. Test the waters in the transfer portal. I just really hope this doesn't become a huge trend specifically for the Michigan State football program where you have players left and right saying, oh, I'm not getting my playing time. I'm not getting PT. I'm out of here. I'm chucking up the deuces. I'm going to another program. I hope it doesn't become a trend, but I don't see how Coach D'Antonio can manage the egos of those second and third string players. I just don't know how you do that. And then, heck, and I think it was you. We got Jack Kerwin behind the glass. Jack, I believe it was you a week or two ago who let me know about, you know, the possibility of Ladarius Jefferson possibly transferring. And, you know, I think you brought up his Twitter profile, right? Like, he tweeted something out there. Was it you who brought that up?
Yeah, he said something along the lines of some things aren't meant to last, something like that. And it was right after, I believe, the Arizona State loss, where he didn't get a whole lot of playing time. So, yeah, to me it kind of seemed like he implied that he might be looking for the door if things don't look up for him. But, yeah, as it turned out, Connor Hayward's actually the one so far who's wound up moving on from Michigan State.
Exactly. Yeah. That's the tweet that I was referring to that you brought up and brought to my attention. Some things aren't meant to last. I mean, I don't know. Again, we're reading tea leaves there. He didn't specifically say some things aren't meant to last here at the Michigan State football program. He didn't say that, but – you know, people were reading to that and saying, oh, does Ladarius Jefferson want to leave? You know, and Ladarius, you know, he's a sophomore. He had 5 yards on 2 carries. Had some strong blocking this past weekend. He could have decided to look elsewhere if he wanted to or take a redshirt with Michigan State since he played a year ago as a true freshman. However, Saturday was Jefferson's 5th game, and he is not eligible to use a redshirt this season. So, if there was any thoughts about that, I wanted to bring that to your attention when it comes to that. So, but I don't know. Again, it's all about managing egos. At the end of the day, D'Antonio has to do what he has to do. You heard what he had to say concerning Connor. Hey, I wish you the best. That's the reality of today's game. So on and so forth. That's the rule. That's what the NCAA allows players to do. adjust to it. Keep it moving. Keep it pushing. I want to go to line one right now. We've got Kurt from Grand Ledge on, who's been waiting. Kurt, what's up, my man?
A whole lot of things, Al. There's lots of things going on of interest. But let me just address the Connor Hayward thing or the whole transfer thing. Mm-hmm. With both Hayward and Brandon Boyer-Randall, they were both guys that played some as freshmen, so they had a redshirt year still available to them. And they were both guys who were like junior in status that were passed up by guys who were younger than they were. Obviously, in Hayward's position, it was Elijah Collins. But for Brandon Boyer-Randall, it appeared that Chase Klein was getting more playing time. Jack Camper was getting more playing time. Things like was looked at as the guys to come in his position, and that he was bypassed by then. So I don't have any problem with those guys. They were juniors, had a redshirt year available with them. You know, you got to really love the university at that point in time to stay. And we've seen that with some players in the past, but who've gotten bypassed and have decided to stay. But if you really love football and want to play, and hope that, you know, by getting more playing time someplace else, you might get into the league somewhere, I don't have a problem with it.
Right. I don't either. That's the thing. At the end of the day, you got to do what's best for you, right? You know, if
right. And
like you said, I think that noting that both Brandon Boyer-Randall and Connor Hayward, looking at their eligibility years, I mean, now is the time to do that. You know what I mean? So I'm totally with you on that, Kurt.
Right. Right. And Ladarius may have been speaking about Connor Haywood's situation in his very vague Twitter thing, you know, without mentioning names or whatever. He may have been addressing Connor's situation. Now, next year, when Ladarius is a junior in status, who knows? He may decide, you know, it's time for me to look elsewhere, too. But I was going to say, it's not just at Michigan State either. I mean, if you think about it, Clemson had the kid, I think his last name was Bryant, who was bypassed by Trevor Lawrence at quarterback, and he opted after four games to put his name in the transfer portal. Mm-hmm. He had Jalen Hurts, who stayed the whole year and then decided to go as a grad transfer because he was bypassed by Tua and wasn't going to play. You know, so it's all across the board with this kind of thing. And what makes it different now is the NCAA rule saying – you can play four games and still redshirt. Mm-hmm. So you're going to be seeing many, many more of these situations across the board of players seeing where the first third of the year takes them and then making the decision.
Right.
So
this isn't just a Michigan
really
State thing.
About,
yeah.
Sorry, Al.
No, you're fine.
What I really called about was the California thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been listening to some other sports talk stuff this morning and a little bit last night, and listening to people, quite frankly, I think they're overreacting right at this point in time because the thing doesn't go into effect for at least 3.5 years or 3.25 years.
Right.
Till 2023. And who knows what those 3 years are going to bring. But I would like to point out a couple of things, and that is the NCAA is already positioned to deal with this whole thing, and that is they already have a rule that would say this is an improper benefit. If you have this, do this, even though the state of California says you can do it. That doesn't make a hill of beans to the NCAA, you know, and if you take this improper benefit, you're ineligible, and Team A, if you use an ineligible player, you forfeit that game and you forfeit the money that you're going to benefit from bowl games or whatever, you know. And I dare say they could make it more stringent by saying, and if you flaunt this, you lose your share of the TV money. Because mm-hmm. Let's face it, that's where the big hurt would be. Now, there's a precedent for this, okay? And it's really pretty simple. How many states in the country have passed recreational use of marijuana? Michigan is one of them, Colorado, Oregon, California, whatever. It doesn't matter. If you go to a bowl game and they test you and you test positive for marijuana, guess what? You don't get to play. You're deemed an ineligible player, blah, 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 blah. We saw it happen a few years back with Michigan had Mitch McGarry tested positive at the NCAA tournament. Boom, he's suspended for the next year.
See, and like you said, so you're hitting on the contradiction of rules, right? Because
what I'm hitting on is that the NCAA doesn't have to follow that standard from the state of California.
Right.
They're probably not going to do that. There probably is going to be some kind of wheeling and dealing and negotiation or whatever. But I'm saying, if they wanted to just stand their ground and say, no, this isn't going to be the Wild West. This isn't going to be blatant, wild, crazy recruitment. What alumni base has a better, money thing to pay guys for showing up at meetings saying whatever, or what car dealership's going to use a guy in a commercial or whatever.
Right.
If they really wanted to just say, no, this isn't the way it's going to be, they already have stuff in place.
Exactly. And that's the point I'm going to make, because there's a key. Because I combed through this extensively yesterday. There is a key component that a lot of people are missing in this whole thing. That's a tease. I'm going to explain that later on this hour. But you're hitting on it a little bit, Kirk. I see where you're going. Definitely.
They could just say, nope, we're keeping it the way it is. And if you opt to do X, then Y is going to happen. And if you continue, then Z will happen too. Mm-hmm. And if you then choose to leave the NCAA, more power to you, but you don't get any of our NCAA TV money.
Mm-hmm. Right, exactly. It's a big game. You know how I describe this, Kirk?
Let's face it.
Right now, this is a big game of chicken between the state of California and the NCAA. That's exactly what this is. And I'll explain later on this hour, but great points, Kirk. Great points, man.
All right. Thank you, Al.
You got it. Always good talking with Kirk. Some really interesting points when you really dive into SB 206. That again, they're dubbing, that's the name of the bill, the Fair Pay to Play Act. All right, so I'm going to dive into that later on. What I want to do is I want to hit our first break. When we come back, we're going to play for you a bit of what Mark D'Antonio had to say during his press conference this morning. Again, he touches on this whole paying college athlete situation and the transfer portal. You heard him talk about Connor Hayward, and also he'll talk about OSU as well, as Michigan State has a big game this weekend. Can they even just keep up with the Buckeyes? That and more. You are listening to WKAR's Current Sports. WKAR's Current Sports. What I want to do right now is I want to roll in a bit of what Mark D'Antonio had to say this morning about the upcoming matchup against Ohio State. He touches on, you heard him touch on Connor Hayward, but he touches on a lot of different things. And I believe, if I remember correctly, if I cut this the way I remember, he starts off here by addressing the transfer portal. So here is Mark D'Antonio at the podium this morning.
I don't think it's an easy out, in the fact that because you go into the portal, you still haven't found a place to play. So it becomes a little bit more difficult than one might imagine, because most colleges are looking for high school players to fill those voids. My thought is, hey, we bring in new players. When things like this happen, it's not, hey, let's go try and find two more guys from the transfer portal. Now, that may happen, that may not, remains to be seen, but nothing's easy about college football. There's nothing easy about it. It's challenging. It's competitive. There's a big time management thing that you've got to deal with. You got all these different things. You got social media nowadays. You got all these different things you have to deal with. And my message to everybody is you got to do what you got to do, and we wish you the best. And I always want to try and be supportive, like I said before, and I want to listen and try and communicate our situation and be upfront and straight up with people. So that's what I've tried to do.
Mark, in the middle here, you mentioned, obviously, the defense didn't play up to the level they thought last week against Indiana. Do you think the timing of that coming into face a top 10 offense maybe works in your favor as far as getting guys on the right page and focusing on some of the areas they need to clean up?
The defense gave up, four plays over 20 yards. What we needed to do better was adjust some things. As I said, I think maybe yesterday or the day before, we needed to adjust a little bit better in terms of from a coaching perspective. And then we also needed to tackle in space a little bit better. And basically, probably more importantly than that, was leverage the ball better. And some of that was technique, and some of that was IU as well. So give them credit. But the ball came out quick. The ball came out 24 times, I think, in 4 yards or less in the first three quarters. And we just got to make the play on the thing and keep it to a minimum game and get off the field. Three times in the red zone, it was third down, we can get off the field. We can get off the field and, make them kick field goals. So those type of things have to happen the next one, but I don't think we've lost any confidence. I think we've been a tough team to run on. They've run for over 200 yards every game, as I said, and passed for over 200. So it's going to be a challenge as we back it up to Columbus, Ohio. But, that's part of it. We understand that. And if you want to be the best, you want to say you're the best defense, or one of the best defenses in the country, then you better play well against a great offense as well. That's part of it.
Mark, California recently passed legislation allowing players to get paid, and I know you don't like to comment on things you say you can't control. Tom Izzo said he would like to see players get paid. What is your personal preference?
Nobody cares what Mark D'Antonio thinks. Good for you. But the reality of the situation is who you're going to pay and who gets paid and who doesn't get paid. And does that become a recruiting tool for some people? And then you've always got people that are getting paid on your team and you got other people who aren't getting paid. So there becomes a separation. And I think sometimes when there becomes a separation, it may not be good. I do think that there needs to be maybe a halfway point or maybe something that's equitable for everybody involved. And that's how I would say that. If it was equitable for all players, which it is to some degree from a cost of attendance, maybe that needs to go up and there needs to be something else. But that's how I would, and that's me being a fan, not necessarily being a coach. Just me saying, okay, if you pay this guy a bunch of money here and a particular school says we can pay you this amount of money and this other school says we can't, or we can pay you this amount, then it becomes a little bit disproportionate. And I would think on your particular team, it becomes disproportionate as well, and that could lead to people going to the transfer portal, which we'd hate that.
Mark, over here. You coached against you coached against Urban System, obviously, offensively for a number of years there, and it was a challenge every time you played him. With Ryan Day, what has he done? Maybe I'm curious your perspective of how things are maybe a little bit different or evolved or changed from what it was to what it is now. Still effective, obviously.
Well, I think that he's been there for 3 years, and I think that he's going to adapt to his quarterback, who's a new quarter. Justin Fields is playing tremendous. He gives you a run after catch. Gives you the ability to run and create. He gives you the ability to throw the football. Great arm, strong arm. Again, zero interceptions. But I think that he's going to adapt to some degree to his quarterback, but I think he's been there for 3 years, and for the most part, it was his offense, and I think he was calling the plays. I think that, they're going to adapt to the quarterback that they have. Last year they threw it a little bit more with their quarterback. The years before they ran it a little bit more with their quarterback. Both were equally effective. The bottom line is, do you win football games? And they're 5-0 right now, and doing a tremendous job in terms of offensive production. 36 TDs and four for the defense. Defense has given up four, so that's quite a deal, whatever you would call that deal. Okay. Anything else?
Yeah, right here. Mark, Chase Young, you mentioned him off the top. I was curious, who would you compare him to, whether it's a player you had or a player you've seen in the Big Ten? And when you have a disruptive presence to that degree at that position, how does that sort of shape the whole approach offensively and what you have to do to sort of combat a guy like that?
Yeah, I would say really haven't thought of him in the human context. So he's a very good player. Big, strong defensive end, you know, maybe a Robert Smith type guy from wet back in the day, you know, guy who played 11 years in the league. Was a dominant defensive end for us. You know, he's firm. He's very well coached. He's got a very quick first step out of the box. So, you know, I don't really think of him in terms of, oh, he's just like so-and-so. I just look at him and looks like a guy that's extremely productive and making big plays out there and create a big – we have to be able to control him to some degree, you know, because, you know, he can wreck a football game.
Is there a rareness or a uniqueness, I guess, to them where he doesn't sort of draw comparison?
Well, they've had guys down there like – they've had guys down there like him in the past. Everybody's had a guy like that in the past at some point in time. So, but I can't put a comparison on it. I just think he's a very, very good football player.
Mark, a little bit of the script was flipped last week. To Matt's point, the defense maybe didn't have the game it did, but the offense proved that maybe they can survive a shootout and did so on Saturday. Does that give them a little bit more moxie and confidence going in, knowing that if Ohio State throws up tons of points, they have to try to keep pace?
Yeah, you know, I think, you know, how we played at the tail end in the first half against Northwestern and then the second half offensively, and then this past week I thought we were in rhythm, confident. Our quarterbacks, again, you know, Brian Lewerke's playing extremely well. So all these things go into context. I think anytime you do something well, you know, you get a little bit of confidence, you get on a roll a little bit. So that's a positive. Yeah.
We're kind of looking at the back end of the portal situation. The back end of the portal situation, kind of what you mentioned about it, finding a place and then getting there. Obviously, Field's situation is one where he was eligible immediately. Mm-hmm. I guess, what are your thoughts on how that part of it's playing out? And then also, do you have any updates on Jaden Reed? I know last we mentioned you hadn't heard back yet.
On Jaden?
Yeah, Jaden.
You know, the first part is I just think it needs to be consistent. You know, from a standpoint of transfers, it just needs to be somewhat consistent. Everybody has different views on that, or maybe different reasons or different situations, which makes it a little bit difficult, but I just think it needs to be consistent. And then the second thing is on Jaden, no, he won't be eligible this year. We've got to set him. You know, I just can't, you know, there's too many different things that have gone through that he won't qualify. You know, we can't make that exception for him, or the NCAA will not make that exception for him. So,
Mark, you mentioned Ohio State being, you know, the dominant program in the league dating back to the late 90s. And when you see sort of a score like they put up against Nebraska and against some of the other teams they've played this year, do you wonder if – does it seem like they're raising the bar maybe even higher than it's been over the past decade now?
Well, that's why I started the press conference saying they're probably one of the top five teams in the country right now. You know, but the nice thing about football is every single week you've got to prove it on the field and you've got an opportunity. And it's 0-0 when you start. So that's where we start. We start 0-0 down there in Columbus, and we need to get ourselves ready to go. And we've had to fight adversity before, so this is another opportunity to get ourselves ready and to play our very, very best. But it will take our very, very best, and we'll be motivated to do that. But, again, they have a tremendous football team, and, you know, they're primed in terms of, you know, what they're doing. I mean, you know, you can look at any aspect of their team, and they're doing it well. Thanks.
Yeah, they certainly are. Ohio State, undefeated. They look amazing right now, just completely blowing out every opponent they've faced, and Michigan State will have a tall task, to say the least, come this Saturday night. Again, he touched on a few things there. What I want to do is I want to hit our last break, And I want to elaborate more on the concerns that Coach D'Antonio has about paying college athletes. I'll get to a few of your comments because a few of you have some interesting comments about that very topic at our Facebook page at facebook.com/WKAR News. And I'll do my best to break this whole conversation down. All right, we'll be right back. All right, welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. Mark D'Antonio, you heard a bit of what he had to say during this morning's weekly press conference, and he commented on paying college athletes in light of the conversation about the new bill that was passed in California that will allow in January, starting in January in 2023, so we've still got some time here, it will allow college athletes to get paid off of their names, images, or likeness to outside bidders. I absolutely love it. I love it. I have no problem with it. When it concerns college athletes getting paid, D'Antonio commented and said that he wonders about things becoming disproportionate and who gets how much money. Do all get paid? Does one school pay more? He worries about how recruiting can be impacted in that way. And those are all legit concerns. But to that, I say, you're in college. All right. You are an adult. And let me tell you something. And this is a point I've made when having this conversation numerous times. All right. Not everybody gets paid the same at an organization that you work at. Not everybody is going to get a fair compensation for doing a certain job. Heck, here at WKAR, I don't get paid the same salary as some of my colleagues. That's how it goes. It's life. Get used to it. If somebody out there is willing to pay, I don't know, Trevor Lawrence more money based on how talented he is than let's say the punter on the squad, then guess what? That's how life is. That's how the NFL works, right? When it comes to endorsements and so on and so forth. Now, when you talk about overall, if this money is coming from the college or university, then that's kind of a different conversation. But I think some things need to be cleared up here when it comes to this California bill. This California bill is not saying universities, you are going to be paying these college athletes. No. This directly concerns outside bidders. Remember that. This is not colleges or institutions who will be writing a check to college athletes. This is the local car dealership. All right? This is the local sports basketball camp going on. All right, that's what this concerns, all right? It's called SB 206, the Fair Pay to Play Act. Again, this is not happening immediately out in Cali. This will go in effect January of 2023. Schools not paying salaries to the athletes. For the first time, players will be allowed to sell their rights to their names, images, or likeness to outside bidders. Heck, they can even hire an agent. I see nothing wrong with this. This is America. All right? Your name, image, and likeness, if somebody out there is willing to pay you money for that, it's a free country, go for it. What's wrong with that? I have no problem wrong with that. You know, again, they could get paid from things. You know, I mentioned a few things like, you know, TV commercials, autograph sessions. Heck, I don't know, things like video games as well. Another example is maybe having a local business pay a college athlete to attend a training session with some kids locally. I mean, there are countless examples of how this can go down. You know, I brought up last season during March Madness, you know, and the incredible year that Cassius Winston had. Best point guard in the nation. I mean, and the thing I bring up with Cassius is, this is a very important point that I always think about. A lot of these college athletes are going to be just good college athletes. I don't know if Cassius Winston can survive in the National Basketball Association. He's got a size problem. I don't know. So if I was to ask many people out there, when throughout Cassius Winston's life, when is the moment where his name, image, and likeness probably has the most value? Guess what, folks? It's right now. Probably the best point guard in the nation right now. He should be able to profit off of that. That's not fair at all. Now, the Olympics have been using the same model for years. Back in February, California State Senator Nancy Skinner proposed that the same model adopted in the Olympics could be used for college athletes, giving them the same rights as any student on a college campus. This is a bit of what Nancy Skinner had to say. Quote, "What other billion-dollar industry could rely on college students as the source of their revenue and deny them any type of income?" I'll read that again. What other billion-dollar industry could rely on college students as the source of their revenue and deny them any type of income? That quote hits hard, right? She went on to say, quote, "This is the only billion-dollar industry that so far has been able to get away with this," taking a direct shot at the NCAA. California schools and the NCAA strongly opposed the bill because it would make it illegal for college athletes in California to follow the NCAA's strict amateurism rules. So what did the NCAA do? They sent one letter to California legislators and another to State Senator Gavin Newsom. So two letters went out from the NCAA saying the law would result in California schools being banned from any NCAA competitions. This is what Kirk hit on earlier in the call, saying that if you do this, this will result in California schools being banned from any NCAA competitions because they would have an unfair recruiting advantage. That's the argument that they're having right now. Now, it's worth noting this, that several other states have already considered following California's lead in this whole thing. And we got some time. It's only 2019. This won't go in effect until 2023, all right? So the other states that have already considered following Cali's lead, politicians in Washington State, Colorado, Maryland, North Carolina, South Carolina, have all publicly supported the idea of creating similar laws in their states. A congressman, actually in North Carolina, has proposed a federal law that would apply to all states. Again, it's only 2019. This will not go in effect until 2023. I want to make this point, though, because this is very important, because I'm pretty sure people are listening and saying, well, Al, if nothing changes before 2023 and other states across the board don't get on board with this, what is going to happen? Well, if nothing else changes before that year, California schools do face a tough decision. One legislator described this as a giant game of chicken. That's what I noted when I was talking to Kirk. On one end, you got the NCAA threatening to exclude California schools. And on the other end, you got the lawmaker saying, go ahead and try it. What's going to happen? Only time will tell. But if I had to guess here, I think that other states are going to get on board with this because I see it's fair. It's what should happen. Now, I know America ain't fair, right? That's a whole other conversation for another day. But Cali leading the way here, I think, is a game changer. A player should be allowed to get paid off of his or her name, off of his or her likeness. That's America, folks. And the fact that these athletes who are working, you know, like the life of a college athlete, a lot of people don't understand the life of a college athlete. Because I think a lot of people just look at college athletes and, oh, yeah, you play a game, you got your tuition paid for. There are still some people that just look at it like that. But it's tough. And it didn't really hit me. That point didn't hit me until I had three interns who were members of the Michigan State football program. And I would talk to them about their schedules. All right, when can you come in? Can you come in for this shift? He's like, "Ah, well, I wake up at 5. I have a weight training session at 6. And then after that, I got to go to class until about 2. And after that, I can probably go get a bite to eat, but it can't be quick because I got a film session right after that. Then after that, we have practice. Then we have a position meeting. I can probably come in 8 p.m. I'm like, what, 8 p.m.? The day's done by that time. So it's crazy. It's crazy. And the fact that these institutions, these colleges have been getting paid off of these young men and women for so long, something's got to change. Something has to change. So hopefully that clarifies some things for you guys. And I really hope, again, the state senator, the congressman out in North Carolina who's proposed to